Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah. It is the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan. You play that too much, Lonzo, you know? You're just overusing it. I've heard it too many times.
You know what you're doing. And that's fine. I mean, because that's going to get it stripped, and then you're going to be upset because you were the one who did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fourth and final of the Money Hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. My name is Rob Brown. On the other side of the metaphorical glass, this AM, he, of course, is the great Milonzo returning triumphantly, tapping the play like a champion today, banner on the way in through the door, and bringing everything he's got.
I can't pick my arms up enough to tap the stupid banner.
He is fighting through death itself, ladies and gentlemen. But he's here. You know who else is here? Joining us now on the live stream, which you can join at facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. You can join the live stream, as has our executive producer for Bet for the Cycle, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetQL Network. The executive producer of I don't even know how many other shows, and an NBA analyst for the BetQL Network. We call him hating ass Mario. Mario Heron joins us here on the show. What up, big fella?
What's up? And Alonzo, I know the feeling of fighting through death. I had to do that this past Saturday where I had to eat 12 donuts in 12 minutes. And that was the closest to death I've ever been. And I fought through it. Thanks to Rob Brown. Thanks to Cody Decker. Always a pleasure to be here on a great Wednesday.
All right, I got, what kind of donuts were they?
Well, the bet was a dozen Krispy Kreme glazed. Ugh. But Mario screwed the pooch, waited too long to buy the donuts, and ended up having to go a half dozen regular glaze and a half dozen glazed chocolate covered.
Well, yeah. You might as well get some chocolate in there. The glazed is the problem, though. The glaze is what messes you
Bro,
up.
Bro, listen, the melted chocolate on top adds so much weight, don't they, Mario?
Oh, and the strategy was terrible. The last two were the chocolate. It was a terrible strategy.
He should have knocked the chocolate down early.
Yeah, I should have. But what are you going to do? Not going to eat donut again, though, for probably the rest of my life.
Yeah, we thought Mario was going to spew on Cam. We set the over-under on-air barfs at one. But did it come back around later in the day?
Yes, I tried to sprint, like, 2 miles, like I was just trying to get it out of me, and right in front of a very nice neighborhood sign in my hometown, I just yacked all over it, and yeah, it was by the way, however you think donuts taste good going down, they do not taste that good coming back up. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, here's the good news. A reprieve, because we both missed our parlays this past week in the Dodgers-Cubs game. So no punishment coming this week, but the next one we have lined up, great one, is the 999 challenge. 9 dogs, 9 beers, 9 innings. Now, because we are both live on the air when we do these punishments, A, and B, because these are supposed to be punishments, not nice little treats, they gotta be non-alcoholic brewskis. 9 dogs, 9 brews, 9 innings on the air during a baseball game. This one's going to be spicy too.
Baseball games take like 75 hours. I mean,
they
so
take
plenty
less
of time.
Than 3.5 now, dude. 3.5 hours, none. It's one of those things. It's kind of like the donuts, Mario, in that it doesn't sound like much when you're talking it up. It was like the 75 nuggets. I'm like, ah, it's not going to be a problem. I eat 20 all the time. It's not until you're about 80% of the way done when you go, this was a terrible damn idea.
Yeah, it's always like when you're just past 50 and you're like kind of on the home stretch, we're like, wow, I really like didn't think this through. Like, that's always the first thing that comes to my mind. It's like, I didn't think this through. So, Lonzo, I think you should try one of them. Yeah, I think you would appreciate it.
I have I've lost my share of bets on this program. And yeah, so, and I'm sure I will in the future, but right now I'll take a break from it.
It's fair. Hey, Naz, Mario, Mario Herron from the BetQL Network joins us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, big fella, let's talk a little NBA shooty hoops as we are now inside of four games remaining for every team on the schedule to try to play their way in or play their way up. Let's start in the West. Last night we had I'm not going to say great game between the Lakers and the Warriors, because the Warriors were never not in control of that game, partially because they look like the Warriors of old, knocking down 26 threes en route to a 60%+ shooting percentage from behind the arc. I don't know if you saw where Klay went on Draymond's show and Draymond was like, yo, talk to me honestly about my ejections and all that. And Klay was like, bro, I'm not going to lie. Like, we kind of hate it. Like, you're kind of killing us over here, man. Like, we're not the Warriors without you. And when you get booted and you get sat down, it makes life harder for us. And we're not the same team. And then when you know it, here comes Draymond 5 of 7 from three, playing good ball. Doesn't really seem to be letting the moment get too big for him. Did Klay fix the Warriors?
No, but he gave him a Band-Aid, a pretty good, strong Band-Aid, put it right over the boo-boo, and then, you know, it's going to be okay with some Neosporin. But after that, it's still there. The scar is still there. Look, the game last night was like, looks like the vintage Warriors game. It did look really good, and they also did this funny thing where, like, the other day they said next year's team's going to look a lot different, but, like, the main core is going to be intact, and a lot of young guys are going to be back, and then you sit there and you go, so the same team? Like, that part just didn't make sense. So shout out to the Warriors for just not really making sense again. But either or, look, they sit at the 10th seed right now. They're going to have to go through the play-in. And no matter what happens in the play-in, if they win out, fantastic in it. Or if they lose it and then they win, fantastic. Good for them. They're still not making it past the first round of playoffs. I don't even think they're going to make it past the play-in. I really, really don't. Right now, they're in a matchup against the Lakers. Yeah, they beat the Lakers last night. AD wasn't there. LeBron was apparently sick the whole time. Come playing time, really, I just don't see the Warriors making it past it. I just really, really don't. They could do everything they want right now. The Klay Thompson thing's fantastic, but I'm just not going to take this small sample size versus a large sample size that we've seen this year and go, yeah, this Warriors team is the Warriors of old.
That's fair. Let's stay in the West. What about the Lake Show? AD down with an eye injury. Once again, aggravated the one that cost me and Deck a parlay 2 weeks ago. That sucked. LeBron sick. They went out. They got smoked last night, despite 33 from King James. I kind of feel about the Lake Show the way you feel about the Golden State Warriors. I look at this team and I'm going, look, they should be good. They should be able to ride LeBron and AD alone and have Austin Reeves pitching in on the back end to kind of round it all out. But I look at everybody else, and yes, Rui Hachimura had a real good game last night, but I can't rely on anybody else consistently enough to believe the Lakers can really do anything.
No, and like the thing is, too, is like last year when people ride off the Lakers and they kind of came to be and people are like comparing that to this year, it's like, all right, but post All-Star, Lakers last year looked incredible. Like, they looked great. Post All-Star this year, they don't look that good. Like, they're 24th in defensive rating. Net rating, they're 14th. Like, that's not really like top tier playing basketball, the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, they're just not. And, you know, you kind of hinted at, like, when AD and LeBron are healthy and are playing, it's not like they're having a down year. Like, they're having two fantastic years and they're still not winning. If your two best players in the NBA are playing fantastic and you're still not winning, newsflash, you're not a good team. Like, the team around you is just not very good. I'm with you. I don't think this team's very good. I think they make it past the play-in. They're going to face the Timberwolves. They're going to face the Nuggets, one of the two, maybe the Thunder. I think any of those teams takes them out in six. And that's, I think, not even a hot take. Like, I think that's just a pretty solid known thing, is that in six games, LeBron's out. He's at home in Cancun eating chips, watching the rest of the playoffs.
My dude Chris just popped in. He asked something I was already going to ask you, so let's go and get to it. You and I, about 5 weeks ago when we started this, about the time Karl Anthony Towns went down, both said we thought the Timberwolves were in trouble. We thought we were going to see them drop down the standings a little bit. Here we are, multiple weeks later. Not only have they not, they're 8-2 in their last 10. They're 37-13 in games against teams out of the West. They are currently tied for first with the Denver defending damn champion Nuggets right now. Were we wrong about Minnesota? Because Big Cat is coming back in time for the playoffs, and they're going to catch the one seed, which means they're likely going to get the winner or the lowest seed out of the play-in in round one. Man, everything's coming up aces for the Timberwolves right now.
Yeah, and I feel like an idiot, Rob, because I just really underappreciated and didn't really understand the type of competitor and player Anthony Edwards is. Like, Cat went out, and then Anthony Edwards goes, I'm going to take this personal. I'm going to carry this team. And he did that in every single way. Thank you, Lonzo. Perfect timing.
That was me, son. That was me. I'll take your compliment. Oh. Thank you very much.
Oh. That was great producing. All right. But yeah, look, the intensity he brings on both sides of the floor, the way he takes over games, the way he just gets in this mode where he wants to attack and just keep attacking you. I will say this, if you know they won eight of the last 10 and it's not against the best teams, I would say, you know, you have the Bulls in there that they lost, which is a bad loss, but they, you know, whooped on the Raptors, who are a high school team right now, and then beat the Wizards barely, who are just, I guess, playing for who knows what, but they're playing hard. But at the same time, Cat comes back. Cat was always weakness on defense. The defense got stronger. This Timberwolves team, I think right now I'm pretty comfortable in saying, is the team that stands in front of the Denver Nuggets. Like, that's the team, if the Denver Nuggets were like, I don't want to play against, it's them. They do not want any part of the Minnesota Timberwolves. They said it last year. I think this year too, Rob. And you correct me if I'm wrong. I just think they're the only team that stands there and goes, come to Minnesota, I dare you.
All right, one more out of the West before we flip over to the Eastern Conference. Give me a team. Let's go 4-8 because we talked 9-10 already. Clippers, Mavericks, Pelicans, Suns, Kings. Give me the team out of that group of teams that you think goes on a surprise playoff run.
He did it with Brunson as his sidekick. What can he do with a guy that has an NBA championship, that hit one of the biggest NBA shots, who's having like his best year off the court in terms of no distractions? It's the Mavs right now with Kyrie Irving. I think just the way they have been playing, these triple doubles that he puts up, these 40-point games that he puts up, it is unbelievable what Luka's doing. He's unguardable. You heard even LeBron James say that with JJ Redick. He's unguardable. I think that team is a team that's going to ruffle some feathers and kind of do a good playoff run. I don't believe I was a believer in the Clippers. And then right now I'm just like, I hate the teams throughout that go, I could just turn it on. I could just turn it on wherever I can. Shut up. You're not Michael Jordan. Like, I hate that. It pisses me off. I'm close with the Pelicans. I just don't know about B.I. and his whole situation. But if we see I call him Mean Zion. When he gets that look and he actually like cares and he wants to win the game, they get Mean Zion. I think they're in that mix too. But I think by far it's Mavs. Suns, get out of here. I think someone's going to get hurt and they're done.
I honestly don't have an issue with any of that. So let's move over to the East. I mean, at this point, Boston has run away with his conference. They're 14 games up. They are incredible. 35-3 at the house, and every series will go through Beantown. The East goes through Beantown. So let's look down the rest of the list, and let's start with Milwaukee. Giannis Antetokounmpo goes down last night with a non-contact calf injury. The good news is, just came out, just broke a few minutes ago, that it is not an Achilles issue. His Achilles is entirely intact, so it is just a strain of the calf muscle. Do not have a timeline yet on when Giannis Antetokounmpo might be back. The Bucks, however, have a bigger handicap to deal with and his name is Doc Rivers.
It is, and that's a tough one to overcome. I will say, I was watching the game last night, and they put Pat Bev in the starting lineup, and he actually did this with the Bulls, too, last year, so give credit to Pat Bev. Dude, it was a whole different energy with that team. Whole different energy, whole different attitude, and they played hard. They played physical. They were on this losing spree that beforehand, I was like, this is actually a huge problem. They lost to the Knicks. They lost to the Raptors, the Grizzlies, and the Wizards. Holy crap, those are not good teams. Those teams will lose to UConn. Not really, but you get what I mean. And then they come out against Boston. It's like, all right, they have a chip on their shoulder. They're like pissed off. They're playing mad. Giannis obviously goes down. And like you said, he turned out he's going to be okay. Probably, like, I'm going to guess, like 2 weeks or give him off. I don't see a way anyone stops Boston. I just really, really don't. But the only thing I worry about is if you're the Bucks, you got to try to survive the first round if Giannis isn't back soon enough, because that first round could be the Sixers and that first round could be the Heat. Both are your kryptonite. So if there's a bet right now of Bucks not making it past the first round, I would smack it. I would take it right away, because if Sixers or the Heat right now, I would take 1,000 times over than the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right, looking down the rest, everybody we work with that's based up in New York City, whether it's Nick Kostos or Cody Decker or anybody, they are all in on the New York Knicks, and I can't figure out if this is because that's a New York team and everybody from New York thinks everything about New York is the greatest thing on planet Earth, or if the Knicks are really good. They are one game behind Milwaukee, but there is a clutter from them all the way down to the eight-seeded Miami Heat before another big drop-off down to Chicago and Atlanta in the bottom two play-in spots. Is this team going to do anything, or are we, you and I, going to be laughing at all of our New York colleagues when the Knicks get bounced early?
Oh, we'll be laughing. It's like we're going to be on laughing gas, Rob. We'll be laughing. It's going to be so fun. I'm looking forward to it. I have a buddy that I text every day that every time I see a bad play or something stupid that Tibbs does, like last night, he only dressed eight guys last night against the Chicago Bulls. Not like a serious contender playoff team against the Chicago Bulls. He dressed eight guys. That is not a good idea. That is 46 minutes, by the way, for Josh Hart. That is 35 minutes played by OG, who hasn't been healthy this year. And you're going to play him 35 minutes? And we're 2 weeks away from the playoffs? You think that's a good idea, buddy? They're going to fall apart. They're going to – Jalen Brunson again, 42 minutes last night. Tibbs is going to overplay his guys once again. Look, I love Jalen Brunson. He's a great offensive player. Guess what happens on the defensive floor? He gets hunted. He's going to get hunted in the playoffs. Every team's going to do it. It's not going to work. It's going to happen. They don't have Randall. That's a second scoring option. That hurts. Yeah, Mitch Robinson back. Awesome. Guess what? Kobe White attacked the rim last night on him multiple times and finished with ease. What the hell is going to happen versus a better team? What the hell is going to happen when, you know, they face the Magic, who are a pretty big team? What happens when they face the Pacers right now, who are one of the best offensive teams that play pretty fast? Rob, I'm not a believer in the Knicks. I will laugh at them. I will mock them and mock them to the day I die and mock that stupid gift that they had when they beat the Hawks in game two of the year.
I am good with that. I'm glad you brought up the Orlando Magic, because yesterday on You Better You Bet, I told Kostos, I really like this team. I do think they have one fatal flaw. They just don't have any experience. It's made up of all young cats. It's made up of guys who have never been to a playoff series before. It's made up of guys that have not had the clamps put to them like they will in round one when they take on Cleveland or Indiana or whoever they get squared up against in the opening round. But in terms of talent, if this team can find more consistent guard play somewhere, I think Orlando is a potential shock team out of the East.
Oh, 100%. And you kind of said it, like, they're a young team. Like, their biggest weakness is they literally have no experience in the playoffs. Like, that's literally the weakness. But it's also, on the flip side of it, glass half full, they're just going to play free. Because they're like, all right, it's the playoffs. We don't really know what we're doing. So let's just go out there and play. Like, handcuffs are free. Let's just go play. Let's just go do something. And, like, that could work out in their favor. they're in need of guard play, but I just think too, like, the NBA and basketball is based so much off size and so much off length. They have so many guys that are just big, strong, quick scorers. Wagner, Paolo Banchero are problems. They're matchup nightmares for a lot of teams. And they could put guys in trouble situations where if you are, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks who just aren't a good defensive team, you're like, oh crap, like this could be a huge problem for us. You know, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, who by the way are just Donovan Mitchell could literally have a shirt that says, I want out. That's how he plays right now. I think they take the Cavs out, shoot, probably in five. But I just think the matchups that they have, the guard plays a weakness, but like just all strength and all length around them, they could annoy a lot of teams. I think they're going to be the annoying team this year. And then next year, they're a serious contender. They're going to do what the Thunder did.
All right, last one, and then we got to get up out of here. We have gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Because honestly, as much as I love Espo, as much as he's a phenomenal coach, I don't think this Heat is the Heat team of old. Sorry about it. I don't believe the Bulls and the Hawks either. 76ers, Pacers, Cavaliers. Which of those teams is a shock team?
Sixers. It's Sixers.
That's not it. I should take that back. That team's not. Joel Embiid's back. That team's fine.
yeah, they're fine. And Nick Nurse, very smart defensive coach. Like they're gonna be fine. The other team maybe I would watch out for is, remember what we saw about with the Spurs in the play-in, like not the play-in, the in-season. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Or Carlisle, live experience. If you had gave me a chance of those teams, Rob, like I think the Spurs can shock some people. Tyrese Haliburton finds his 3-point shot. They play fast. They play quick. The only problem is their defense is non-existent.
Hating ass Mario. Mario Heron is the executive producer of Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetQL Network with me and him and Cody Decker. He's also on a handful of other shows around the BetQL Network and is an NBA analyst for the BetQL Network. He joins us every Wednesday to talk NBA ball. And once that season comes to its conclusion at the end of the NBA championship, we'll transition over to baseball and who the hell knows what else. Mario Heron here on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan Upstate, appreciate you, big fella.
Hey, always appreciate it. Fun as always. God, you guys both look so good in the morning.
I know.
He's lying about me, man. I'm barely alive.
No, you look fine. You just feel like butt.
All right.
Yeah, you look great.
That's what I was thinking the whole time. I feel like butt.
For sure. Mario, see you Saturday, big dog.
See ya.
There you go. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. We got to take a break. When we come back here in just mere moments from now, let's call it a mini fight club. Let's call it a baby fight club. No actual babies involved. We'll talk wrestling. WrestleMania reaction, because I've got one major question for WWE that I'm very interested to hear Lonzo answer. It's about your new WWE and a spitted Universal Champion. We'll talk about that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do a baby fight club. No actual babies included. And get Lonzo's initial gut reaction to WrestleMania. And then I have a question for him that I'm interested to see his response in. During the break in our live stream chat, Chris said, I've been watching WrestleMania for 40 years, and damn it, if that wasn't the best one, just epic from start to finish. Was that the best WrestleMania of all time? Great one. I mean, I am going to say it was absolutely top five, maybe top three, but was it the best of all time, or was it just the most chaotic last 5 minutes?
It is the best of all time in the Triple H era.
I agree with that, too.
Which just started. So I think everything before this was Vince McMahon. Everything after is Triple H. And I think maybe they should be judged separately. So I will say, starting off an era, which is supposedly what this is, not bad. Starting with the new intro, love the new intro.
Sure.
The new intro is great. So this is the first WrestleMania, just like it was the first Hall of Fame that Triple H picked everybody. This is the first WrestleMania that he is been completely in charge of the thing. And so this is the beginning of a new era. So now I would not judge this WrestleMania with other ones. I'm going to judge the next one that Triple H does.
Well, you're no fun. Second off, I will.
I'm sorry for putting thought in the question into the question.
No, you're doing the opposite. You're like, I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to say it's the best for the next.
No, I'm not. I didn't think about that till just now. But this is the first one technically of the Triple H era.
But it's the 40th one overall. Where does it stack against the previous 39?
Oh, it's definitely up there.
Okay,
but I think you've got to put it separate because it's two different eras. It really is. McMahon had his hand in everything before, and he doesn't now. And from camera angles to everything else, this supposedly was all Triple H, and I think you could tell.
I do as well. I still think it's fair to compare it to WrestleMania's gone by and see how it stacks up against how it used to be as a prognosticator of where it's going. But we'll put that to the side.
When you're so excited about what just happened to the point where you can't wait for the next one, like what is it going to be next year? It's not, oh, it's going to be another one of those. Yeah, we can pick that. No, we have no idea in a lot of cases of how this thing's going to go. And I love that. That's awesome.
Oh, for the record, I'm absolutely not facing the wall. I'm not even going to be close to the wall.
I haven't even checked.
Don't need to waste time doing mine.
I've been too sick. Dude, with that many picks, it could be within one pick that can make you face the wall.
I missed. You were correct. And if it is, it will only be because of friend of the show, Gunther, who was an emotional, sentimental pick. I got everything else right, including I should get bonus points for the cash-in call. I got everything right. I didn't miss a match with the exception of Gunther Sammy. It's the only one I missed.
I don't think you did perfect like what you just said, but we'll see.
I missed one on the WrestleMania card.
Okay, we'll see.
I missed one match.
We'll see.
All right, so here's what I'll go with. Saturday was okay. Sami Zayn Gunther was good. The tag match was good, if not predictable.
All right, now,
but it was an okay night.
Sami and Gunther, you weren't surprised. When he hit the mat.
No, you know why?
When he hit the mat for the third time, I was like, wow, they actually did it.
No, I'll tell you
why. They actually did it.
I realized something halfway through the match that did not click with me when we did Fight Club selections on Thursday. It was Rocky. Bro, Sami Zayn was Rocky.
Yeah.
It was literally the movie Rocky.
Yeah.
It was Austin, or it was Chad Gable as Mick.
Yeah, and Rocky
Sammy is Rocky.
Rocky didn't win the first time. He didn't win the first fight.
Right, but they told the saga of Rocky within the match. He got knocked down, probably should have lost. Had him fight back, had him Hulk up, had him come back and beat the evil foreigner on home territory in Philly. I should have seen that Thursday when we were picked. It was literally Rocky.
We know. Gunther said in this very room, we know he has his sights higher. I mean, he enjoyed his title run for sure.
Oh, for sure.
But he needs to be in contention for one of those belts.
I'm glad you brought that up because that leads me to my next point, or my next question. I will start with this. Drew, Punk, Damian, and whoever they decide, probably somebody from Judgment Day going after Damian next. I'm excited about that. I think the cash-in was wins for everybody. It was a win for Drew because now he gets to be even more unhinged. His promo on Raw first time out since then. I thought was really well done. I love that character. I love it sets Punk up to just be a jackass to Drew McIntyre for a couple of months until he's ready to wrestle again. I think it allows you to finally do something with Damian that's got more weight than an R-Truth program, as much as we love friend of the show Ron R-Truth Killings. Let me talk to you about Cody for just a second. I think he's going to be a boring champion. I think he's going to be a boring champion, and here's why.
So you need a heel as a champion.
No. No. I need a compelling face. Monday night, when they brought him out, two things happened. First off, Cody said, let me tell you my why, and he showed his kid. I don't care. Oh, I'm fighting for my kid. I don't care. You know who else is fighting for a kid? It's Heath freaking Slater. He was fighting for like 9 kids, and he didn't go crazy over.
So this is personal because you don't like children.
No.
We all know that. So
it's not. What I'm saying is what made Cody compelling was he's doing this for Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. He's doing this to get over on Roman, who he got screwed by so many times. All of these things were a classic underdog babyface story, and he's completed that story. That story's in the books. What makes him a compelling champion moving forward? What is the reason I'm going to be drawn to Cody Rhodes? What is the reason that Cody Rhodes is going to be a guy that makes me go, I got to tune in Monday? Because right now, unless they find a phenomenal heel to fill in, and what do they auto do? Number one contenders match with Drew, who lost, Bronson Reed, Jay Yeet, Issa Uso, and Ricochet. And they let Jay win, so you're giving me Cody's first feud is a babyface versus a babyface?
No. That's not. He's going after Priest.
Oh, I thought it was for Cody's belt.
No, it's for Priest.
Also, I'm not going to lie. I half-assed Raw because I had watched so much wrestling this weekend. Either way, who do you send after him to make him compelling? Because Cody's first promo was boring as hell to me.
All right, speaking of boring, Roman Reigns boring until he added Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns boring until he gathered his entire family around him. That's what made him compelling, is because you knew you couldn't beat him because you had to beat him and his entire family. And I don't have – it's going to be who the next guy is. And they're showing a lot of Roman training. That's all I'm saying. So how do we know there's not going to be a rematch right away of Roman and Cody? Also, The Rock said he wanted to be next, but he had to leave. So I'm guessing he has a movie that he's making.
He does.
So he had to leave. Like they didn't know that he suddenly had a movie to make.
No, that was pretty popular knowledge before the whole thing.
There's also the fact that Cena wants another championship. I mean, seen him on a couple interviews. I think he's about ready to go ahead and break that record. You're only as good as your next opponent, and there needs to be a build between Cody and Gunther. There needs to be.
Yeah, but here's my question. How quickly do you take the strap off of Cody Rhodes without rendering everything you went through for 3 years building that story?
All right, find your heel to take his place.
I'm asking your opinion here.
I am, but I'm glad that a babyface is on top for a change. You like heels. That's fine. I mean, that's your preference.
So
what you're saying to me, this is what I'm hearing, is you don't think a babyface can be compelling enough to carry the company.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't think Cody Rhodes can be compelling enough to carry it. I think there's a lot of faces that could be.
See, this is kind of contrarian, because who's the most popular wrestler in WWE? That would be Cody Rhodes. So popularity is not compelling.
But popularity to me, wrestling is at its core, and this is, I even acknowledge this. This is the problem AEW's having. This is why AEW's stuck right now in the mud. It's because as much as we want great matches and athletic matches and entertaining matches and spectacles, it's still got to be set up by story. And Cody Rhodes spent 2 years telling this story of the underdog who, you know, is fighting for his name and fighting for a legacy and fighting uphill odds and fighting against an army by himself and all that. And that's all well and good, but now he's done that. You know, we talked about the Avengers Assemble moment. What happens after Cap knocks off Thanos? The movie's over.
All right, so all this being said, who should be champion then? You're saying Cody can't carry it, so who should?
Stop saying what I'm saying. I said what I said. I right now am concerned that Cody's going to be boring. I didn't say unstrap him. I didn't say we need a heel. I didn't say any of the things you said I said. All I've said is, how is Cody going to be compelling? Because right now, I, as fantasy booker Rob Brown, am having a real hard time coming up with a way that I can take him from that story and transition him into another story that keeps it compelling. How do I do that? I agree with you, it's about building up somebody else. But if I send out Cena, is Cena Cody? First off, if Cena comes out, he's hotter than Cody Rhodes, I think, within one promo. Second off, if you send out Cena against Cody Rhodes, you take away the thing that makes Cena great, which is smack talking the opponent.
Cena can't do it till like late in the year, by the way.
He's cutting a movie too, isn't he?
He's making Peacemaker season two.
Yeah.
So
it's not him. Here's my fear. Let's say it's a Jey Uso. It's not Jey Uso, but let's say it's a Jey Uso. I think Jey goes over Cody in popularity, like immediately. I don't know. Honestly, you can't use Drew McIntyre because he's caught up with Punk right now. Yes, Gunther would be my selection for sure, and I think it's the problem. I think Gunther talks and performs circles around Cody Rhodes.
And just about, I don't know. I think they're fairly even. I will say, I think it's Jacob Fatu just signed with the WWE, which is another Uso brother. So why not have that guy right away come in and just start jumping Cody all over the place?
Because I...
Vengeance for the Bloodline.
Which is a great story.
Because is the Bloodline just done? They're just done. He had a loss. He's no longer champion. Are they done?
I think it's I actually like that concept. I like that idea. I think you risk fans going, oh God, it's another Bloodline story. Like, we just finished one. Are we going to turn around and do this exact same story?
That was compelling for you, and Cody is not. I mean, I just don't. All right, let me ask you the same question. What would you do?
I just admit it. I don't know. I was on with the Tap Hats and Touchdowns pod yesterday, and we had this conversation. That's why I wanted to bring it up here. I don't know. The best I've got so far, and Bully Rogers showed up and said, Cody's got to do something against all the monsters with something. Listen, if you want to tell the story of, you know, I got to prove myself against the best names, like, okay, that's pretty standard wrestling. I don't have an issue with that. But who do you have him go over Gunther? And if so, why did you take the greatest Intercontinental Championship run of all time off the waist of Gunther, give it to Sami Zayn, to then turn around and have him lose to the very first babyface that he faces? I think you're killing Gunther at that point.
All right, here's the thing, and I think a lot of people do this. You expect the next thing to be equal or greater than what you just saw. This is by far one of the best storylines we've seen in maybe a decade. You're probably not going to top that right away. So there's probably going to be some coasting for a little while, because how do you top what he just toppled arguably one of the greatest champions of all time?
I don't disagree.
How do you top that? Do you have to top it?
Do you
have to go one level higher than what you just did?
I don't need him to top it. I don't even need him to match it. But if you came out like you did, like you had Cody do at the end of WrestleMania, and you opened the show with, and Paul Heyman said during his Hall of Fame speech, if you are selling me on the corner's turned, it's the Paul Levesque era now. I can't have the first champ be a snoozer. And I'm not saying he's going to be. Just so we're clear, this is not me prognosticating that Cody Rhodes is going to be a boring champion. I'm saying I, with the genius creative mind that I have, sat last night on a pod brainstorming how I could fantasy book my way into Cody Rhodes being a compelling babyface champion. Not matching Roman, not matching the story, just be compelling to keep me engaged with that belt for a while longer. And I was having a real tough time coming up with it.
I trust in a new creative team that they'll be able to do that. I just do. And I think there might be some coasting, there might be some buildup. You're not going to get that major thing right away. Because they're going to take their time. Were you not shocked when The Undertaker came out? Did they not shock you with a couple of things? We're going to find out. We don't even know who's going to be on what show, because the draft's in 2 weeks.
Sure.
and things are going to. I mean, Monday night they had a couple NXT people on there that. I mean, Dragunov was on the show. I never saw that coming. So we'll see what happens as far as that goes when they move everybody around, when they move all the pieces around, which is basically starting a new season. So they're gonna coast for 2 weeks. And then the draft's going to happen. Then they'll start building. It's like new player mode on your video game.
You're right. You're right. And again, I think you, just like when you have a show, you have what they call the cool-off match, which is you have a great match somewhere in the middle of the card, and then you send out a couple of mid-carders to just go out there and wrestle and let the crowd cool off a little bit so that you can ramp the energy back up later. I think you're in the cool-off portion right now of you just had Cody go through all this. Let's let everything cool down before we ramp up the next story. And I think the 2 weeks before the draft is a great time for that. But even if you let me choose from the SmackDown roster right now, do you have Cody via monster moment? And if so, who's that monster where you don't take somebody else's credibility away? Is it Gunther? Because, again, if you have him lose the Intercontinental event, then turn around and lose a second match.
Sheamus is coming back.
Please be heel Sheamus. Please be heel Sheamus. Please be heel Sheamus. Please be Mohawk Sheamus.
Probably Mohawk will be. Sheamus. So there's your guy right there for now.
For the record, I actually don't hate that. I actually don't hate that. Sheamus can put on a good program with anybody. All right, just some thoughts. We come back, we ask what the X is going on, and we get out of here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, time to ask Rob what the X is going on, and he'll let us know. The first thing that's Xing is Gene Hackman.
Hackman! Now, I don't know if Gene Hackman is trending because it's his birthday, but the other day, somebody posted a video of a very clearly elderly Gene Hackman walking around like a gas station, and he does not look great, Bob.
Yeah, and he's trending because people are making fun of that. Because he's 93 years old. I mean, what's he doing out unattended, by the way? But, I mean, he's a little stooped, and his hair is gone and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, stop making fun of that. People get old. It's unfortunate, but it happens.
I would agree with that. I will say this. Do you know what movie I saw 3-4 weeks ago for the first time? The Quick and the Dead. You ever seen The Quick and the Dead?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but yeah, I mean, I'm aware of the movie.
The Quick and the Dead, I watched it the other day for the first time. I don't even remember where it was that I watched. This was a movie from like the mid-90s.
It had Sharon Stone in it, right?
Sharon Stone, and, very young Leonardo DiCaprio. Russell Crowe was in it. It was like a who's who of people that would be way more famous down the line. And he was the bad guy. And he was an incredible bad guy in that Western. Like, very terrifyingly believable.
All right, speaking of bad guys, Jack Perry is Xing.
Dude! I gotta say, Jack Perry's doing a good job right now. Because I can't tell if Jack Perry is a great heel or an actual crap person.
So you don't know about tonight?
No, what's tonight?
They put this out during WrestleMania, trying to steal some headlines.
Sure.
They're supposedly going to air the backstage
Here's what I'll say. You put yourself into a corner. You better release the actual video. This better not be
I've seen the thing where Tony Khan said that they never will say they're going to do something and not do it.
They better, because I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you have people that, and I'm one of them, that are going to say, I'm changing my plans to watch this. If we tune in to get their actual side of it with the footage, if I tune in and it turns out to be like a dumb joke, if I tune in and it's like the Bucks and they put up a parody video where somebody else is playing the role of Punk and they're like, oh, it's a dramatic reenactment, I'm going to be furious. I'm going to be mad because this is a really big deal that could literally have changed the trajectory of not one, but both companies. So you better pay this off legitimately, which I don't ever say about wrestling until it comes to stuff like this.
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Fallout.
No idea why it's trending. Are we getting a new one?
The Fallout TV series.
Oh, that's right.
Which was supposed to debut tomorrow. They moved it back a day. It actually debuts today at 6 p.m. on Prime.
So am I going to need, because listen, my experience with Fallout is very, very limited. I played Fallout Vegas for a while when I had a roommate that owned it back in the day. I enjoyed it, but I didn't really get like super far into the game. I tried Fallout
4
very briefly with Lonzo.
No, that was 76.
So I tried Fallout 76, which is, that's the one that's set in Boston, right?
Yeah.
I was pretty pumped about that because I'm a big Boston guy.
Fallout 4 was in Boston.
I think Fallout 4.
Yeah, 76, the one that you came in, and that was 76. That's actually in Virginia.
Okay. Yeah. I tried both of them then, and the only problem I ever had was like, it gets too deep into the crafting element, which is not my favorite thing, and it just drove me away. Do you think I'm going to need to have more Fallout experience to enjoy the TV show? Because I'll definitely give the TV show a try.
No, I think there's going to be some inside jokes that you might not get.
Sure.
But just from the trailer, it looks like they'll explain the whole thing.
I'll give it a shot. The Halo series, I love it. I love it. It's so good.
I watched season one. I haven't watched season two yet.
I love it. All right, kids, that's it for us. I appreciate y'all being here. Have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate later. Yeah!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.